So, in a perfect world, whereby a perfect world is a world where I expect all my expectations to be fully fulfilled. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, the probability of my expectations to occur, it must be one, which in percentage is like 100%. Okay, that's just a teaser because I want us to look a bit again into statistics, right? Because the way statistics is viewed, if you look at the question paper, it's full of algebra. There's a bit of calculus. I'm talking about grade 12 now. But then when you get to a higher institution, like either university or college, you get to study each chapter by its own subject like that. So if it's calculus, you can study calculus. If it's algebra, you can study linear algebra by itself and statistics by itself. There's even a course in statistics anyway. But then here's the thing. I understand that a question paper of mathematics can be horrible to some students, of which that's the reason why I'm making such videos. But then now I also understand that there are those who are getting everything fine. Those ones, well, they are good. But then in life we have to balance, right? So for those who didn't get it, today I want to continue on that topic of statistics, of which I've made the introduction a couple of weeks ago. If you haven't seen the video, you can just pause from here and go check out the videos that I've made previously that were, I think it was just the introduction, because now today I want to talk about probabilities. It's an extension topic, but then I'm not going to start by introducing the whole topic of probabilities. No, from now we're moving further with the topic. So today we'll be looking at a different topic, which is the probability of compound events. It might sound like a fancy word or a fancy topic, probability of compound events, but then I'm 100% sure you've seen something like this before. Normally, when you're writing a grade 12 exam, you are given a formula sheet, and you may have seen something like this before. Some may have used the formula before, some may understand how the formula works, but this is how the formula may be looking like in your question paper. So you might have seen a formula like this before. Like I say, some may know how to use and apply it, but then to some, it may be the case where you'd be like, hey, man. For a mere student who's registered for a mathematical course or a basic mathematics or just a high school student who's just doing mathematics, this formula itself, it doesn't look that typically scary, but until when you see what, when they try to answer the questions applying this, doesn't look good. Because normally the questions like this, they come in the form of a word problem. But then, I mean, let's be honest. Most of the questions that have been asked in statistics, or most of the questions that are related to statistical questions on the section where the topic is statistics. I don't know why I keep on repeating the same word over and over. But then what I'm trying to say is the questions would be in a sense of things that we actually see in life. Like we all play Zwipe. We played Zwipe before, heads or tails. I don't have coins. I'm broke. I was going to demonstrate. And at some point, people had playing cards, right? And playing cards, like they have like numbers and some symbols. Actually, if you look into it, playing cards are actually awesome. Like there's everyone has played playing cards before. The probability of someone winning on a casino game, it could be really about the calculations and the skill, but then it's also really about how the distribution of the cards you have in hand. So if you have a deck of card, there are times where you can calculate what is the probability of taking one card of this type. Like I say, there's a video, man, where I discussed this, Nyana. So maybe I may put a link if I remember for those who wants to go back and just check the basics part of probability, because like now, like I said, we are going to focus on probability of compound events. How does it work? Sharp. Picture a situation like this. Compound of events. For those who are doing chemistry, we all know that a compound is like a mixture. Okay, not necessarily chemistry students, but then a compound is like more than one compound. So it gets to a point where you and your friend, you might play a game where you would be like, let's flip a coin. If I get heads, then the results of the outcomes favors me. or if I get tails, the results of the outcomes favors whoever, and then you flip the coin. So there are only two chances. It's either you get heads or you get tails, right? As simple as that. So that itself is just it's a simple space. It's like this. It's like this. If I flip a coin, it's either I get a heads or tails. And then I'll say the simple space for that is either heads or tails. That's what we say. And then the probability of getting either a head or a tail is 50-50. How do I know it's 50-50? Because I know personally. But otherwise, I can calculate it because the outcomes that I expect is 2, right? The outcomes that I expect is 2. So for me to get a head, there's only one head. It's one chance over 2 outcomes. So which is 50%. 1 divided by 2 is 0.5, 0.5 times 100 is 0. It's a 50%. Also here, what are the chances of getting a tailor? Out of the 2 chances, it's only 1 chance. So it's 1 over the total outcomes. But then what did I say on the video that I said you must go back and scroll and watch? I said probability is equals to the total outcomes. I mean, it's equals to the outcomes divided by the total value of outcomes. So the total value of outcomes here is 2. So if someone said, what is the probability of X being a heads? Then you're going to say there's only 1 chance out of the 2 chances. That one, capish, we're good. That was a revision. God. So you get it right. I never necessarily had to do that. It's just that like now, I'm in the spirit of preaching and explaining. So the moment you flip 2 coins, like the moment you flip 2 coins, you can choose if you want to flip the coins both at the same time, or you flip one after another. It doesn't matter. It's statistics, man. There's no accuracy of time. When was it done, man? And we're just looking at the fact that now it's 2 coins involved. Now 2 compound events. So now one coin has its own event. The other coin has its own event. Why do we call them events? This one can either be a heads or a tails. Also, this one can either be heads or tails. Think of a situation. I'm going to give you these scenarios. You have this scenario, scenario number 1 and scenario number 3. So we have scenario number 1, scenario number 2, and scenario number 3. On our scenarios, we're going to call this event A, event B, event A, event B. Event A, event B. Same events, different scenarios. Now, I'm going to use these scenarios as our first example to demonstrate compound events so we can extract the probabilities of the compound events. So now, picture it in the situation. Event A, one circle represents one event. Let's look again. Event A represent the event of spinning coin number 1. Actually, let me use this one to make you understand before I combine them. Like here is just the overlapping. Event A is coin spinning number 1 event. Event B is coin spinning number 2 event. Here, this is event A, this is event B. One may ask and say, why don't you say heads or tails? We do know that. So in these events, one might think, why don't you just call this heads and you call this second coin tails? Here we are talking about two events of coins being spinned. In this case, there's coin number 1, it may result as heads, it may result as tails. Coin number 2, it may result as heads, it may result as tails. They may both result as heads. They may both result at tails. The sequence may differ. If I demonstrate this like the previous one, I would say now I'm spinning 2 coins. I either get heads or tails. And then for the second time, I either get heads and heads. I either get heads and tails. Also here, I either get heads and tails. I either get tails and heads. So now What does this mean? This means that my sample space here is going to be, let me write it here so it can be, I'll remove it now just to show what we're seeing here. So my sample space for this one, is going to be heads and heads, H and H. It's either I flip the coins and I get H and H same time, or I may get heads and tails, heads and tails, or I may get tails and tails, or I may get tails and tails, or I may get tails and heads with that sequence, or I may get tails and heads. So you see, I have total events of 1, 2, 3, 4. You see, so it's either I get heads and heads for both the spinning, or I get heads first on the first spin and I get tails on the second spin, or I get tails on the first spin and tails again on the second spin, or I get tails on the first spin and tails again on the second spin. Now, if you want to apply mathematics of your own arithmetics, you may think this is like T multiplied by H, and it would be the same, whereby it may result and on a space of like H and H, or it doesn't matter which order I write this one, and then T and T. That's when you think algebraically. And then that is wrong, because I've seen one student looking at the whole thing like that. You don't look at it like that. So that is just what I wanted you to understand in terms of the events. But then now let's simplify it further. So in this case, we have a case where I'll use green for A, and then I'll use red for event B. So in this case, we are saying we have the case where this is event A or B, but there's a special case, given that they are not mutually inclusive, they are mutually exclusive. I'll explain what this means. Hold it there. It's just that I just wanted to assign the values of A and B. So here, I'm going to put where A and B combine. So if red represents B, green represents A, I would say here, we say where they interact, this is A and B. A and B, also denoted as A intersection B. This is where they both combine. So now here, we're saying they are mutually exclusive. Mutually exclusive means they don't interact. They don't overlap. They will never overlap. So they are far apart like that. So here, event A and B, they are mutually exclusive. Hence, I'll explain further what does it mean in terms of the equation, but just know that for now, mutually exclusive means they don't overlap. So this one's they overlap there. So here is, you can see green and red, A and B, A intersection B. That's where they interact. Hence we say A and B. Now, this one here is going to be A or B. Given that they can interact, what does that mean? So we have the green and we have the A, and we have the red. So A or B, given that now they are mutually inclusive. Mutually inclusive meaning they can happen at the same time as well. So it's P, A or B. So hence now, so when we bring that formula that states P of A over B is equals to P of A plus P of B minus P of A and B. I just showed this formula somewhere in the beginning of the video. This formula, that's how you apply it, is these things here. So you need to understand that probability of A or B. What case are you talking about? Are they mutually exclusive? Are they mutually inclusive? And for a case where they are mutually exclusive, remember, your question comes in the form of a weight problem. Don't forget that. Your question comes in the form of a weight problem. For a case where it's mutually exclusive, on that paragraph of the question, especially if you are writing a grade 12 exam or a first year statistics, on that paragraph, they will state that in this occasion, the events are mutually exclusive. And like I said, now mutually exclusive meaning they cannot happen at the same time. But I'll emphasize on that when I use the equations properly. For now, I just wanted to introduce this part, because the whole point is just the matter of being able to answer a question paper. And there's a case where they just give you a question and the events, if they don't state anything about the events being mutually exclusive, we always assume the events are mutually inclusive, whereby it means in that case, it's this case here. So that's when you can use the formula fully. You can use the formula fully because it's mutually inclusive. It's either here, here, or here. Because somehow I think you can see where this is going, because for a case where it's mutually exclusive, clearly mutually exclusive, if they can't happen at the same time, it means the chances, the probability of those things happening at the same time, it's zero, right? So now that's just a clue for the next upcoming video. For now, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Actually, the most, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. But then you can also just follow us and like the video from whichever social media platform that you're consuming this from. Otherwise, I'm Mr. Mayemane. This is Simplified RSA, the guys who makes it look easier. Join me on the next video as we proceed on the topic.